I can sense what's in your heart, which is why I want to go through this with you. All right. This angel Gabriel or space cadet spoke to the Virgin Mary, and greeted her in the name of God. Did the angels call this eternal thought of creation a Lord? Yes, and these angels knew 2,000 years ago that they couldn't talk about UFOs, because it would have been too difficult going into the actual explanation of space travel. As it was, people used to think the cosmonauts were gods anyway. People have always had the tendency to think of God as some supreme being with a human form and physical body. In our conversations, the Lord is God as the third force, and the angels or cosmonauts are the priests who brought God's teachings. I began reading the first chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 30. Don't you be afraid, Mary, said the angel, for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. Very soon you're going to become pregnant and have a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of God. Mary asked the angel, but how can I have a baby? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of God shall overshadow you, so the baby born to you shall be utterly holy, for he will be the Son of God. Furthermore, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. There has been and still exists some religious controversy about whether or not Mary was a virgin. I don't think that concerns us. The important thing is that Mary became pregnant. Some people call it the work of God, a miracle, a mystery. Call it whatever you wish. I have two words for you that will clearly explain away all the mystery connected with the Immaculate Conception. That is, if you really want to be scientific about it. Two words. Artificial insemination. I never thought of that. Yes, why not? Right, it couldn't be impossible for superintelligences to have the technology to plant a seed in a woman's womb. Didn't those biblical women have to be examined or some thing? Not necessarily. With Mary it only took some kind of light beam that shone upon her. You've just said the magic word. Technology. You mean something like laser beams? Something like that. I've read that Intros Arroyos, Argentina, in December of 1972, a man named Ventura Macaira saw a UFO. He was 73 years old, and he said that after a light beam from the UFO shone on him, he began growing a new set of teeth. Imagine that. Those would have been his third set of teeth. 2,000 years ago, that would have been considered a miracle, a mystery. I see what you're driving at. So this baby was born, and three wise men were led by a star to the place of birth. Astronomically speaking, do you know of any stars with minds of their own that could actually get close enough to the Earth and guide some people traveling in camel caravans? I don't think so. What else could it have been? Rama and I just exchanged a glance to remind me of the obviousness of the answer. So now we have this child and nobody knows who his father is or was. I think if we say he was a god, made man, we're not getting too far out of line concerning reality. Because, up to now, nobody knows what's the mystery of the birth of Jesus. No one has even made the effort to consider that the UFO connection could have been behind the birth of this super being. When I met you, you said that if our scientists on Earth would take a minute and consider the possibility that the missing link could be associated with the stars, we would have found what makes humans out of apes. What else do you know about his life? Rama asked. He was taken to Egypt when he was a baby because King Herod had heard that a king had been born. Fearing for his own royal status, he ordered that every male child 2 years and under be killed. Then for 30 solid years, the Bible goes into complete silence about his life except for a passage where he gets lost at the age of 12 and he's found discussing theology with doctors of the law. For many centuries, all kinds of studies have been made of the silent years of Jesus. Many have agreed that during those years Jesus studied with the Essens. The who? The Essens, a brotherhood that existed maybe a couple of centuries before Christ. They were the Tsoft-hyphenchers of righteousness. Did they have anything to do with the Great Pyramid initiates? Maybe. You've told me that Christ studied in the Great Pyramid, therefore he knew of God as a third force. This is true, but as far as the Essens are concerned, they were a universal brotherhood that didn't make their knowledge public. People referred to them by various names, the Silent Ones, the Retired Ones, Servants of God, Mysterious Ones, the Prophesiers, the Healers, and the Strong Men. In other words, the Essens didn't have a public relations office with a spokesperson who divulged their true status. Can I find anything at a library on these Essens? Yes, a book called The Lost Years of Jesus Revealed, by Charles Francis Potter, Fawcett Publications, New York, 1962. But until you check for yourself, let me tell you that these people had a great deal of influence in the life of Christ. Since Christ was only a man like anybody else, his learning had to come from somewhere. Of course, he was a bright kid, and he picked up a great deal of knowledge from many sources. Who informed him that he was the Son of God? I guess he learned that in the Great Pyramid, because in it there is written the date of birth and the death of Christ. Really? Yes, and now that we're on the subject of the Great Pyramid, let me give you a few scientific facts. The Great Pyramid wasn't built by people in your world. It was built with the aid of extraterrestrials. Humanity here didn't have the manpower nor the know-how to build a monument to mankind with God's direct intervention. What do you know about the Great Pyramid? Just what I learned in school. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. The three pyramids were built by one of the greatest cultures on earth, the Egyptians. It's believed that the pyramids are tombs and monuments to great pharaohs or Egyptian divinities. Inside them are the labyrinths that are the most incomprehensible puzzles man has ever encountered. That's what stayed with me. You did say a couple of magic words. You said labyrinth, meaning rooms and corridors coming and going in every direction, making no sense to you, right? Right. What's the other? Incomprehensible. Since the beginning, the pyramids have been a mystery to mankind. They go so far back in time, almost 6,000 years, therefore, not within the reach of history. I could fill your entire house with books on what has been written about the Great Pyramid. Geology, science, history, fiction, Egyptian tragedy, and even Hollywood movies give detailed descriptions on how they were built. I'm not going to ask you to read any of them because for the next 2 years you're going to be doing a lot of other reading. When it comes to the Great Pyramid, the only book you must read is a book that came out in 1951 or thereabouts. It's the work of a group of scientists who've taken the time to study every inch of the chambers and corridors of those labyrinths. Yes, I remember, I've been there, you see? Where there's a will, there's a way. And mind you, this isn't any kind of half-baked study. Lots of tedious years of careful interpretations of symbols, measuring, comparing geometry, calculus, are involved. Are you talking about the book, Dramatic Prophecies of the Great Pyramid by Rodolfo Benavides? That's the one. By the time you start working on this, the book will be available to you. The Great Pyramid was built to last this entire era. There's also a message that takes you into the final days of Armageddon. In the confines of the pyramid you'll find marks and symbols that represent significant dates for humanity, such as December 25th, July 4th 1776, October 12th 1492, August 9th 1945, September 17th 2001. I mentioned this before, this is also where Moses gained a great deal of his knowledge. Remember that Christ corroborates Moses. Building the Great Pyramid was a direct intervention of God, as a guide to choose between eternal life for whatever. Most of the prophets and masters of esoteric teachings have made their prophecies after careful and illuminating studies of the Great Pyramid. Most of the symbols and prophecies in the Bible have been taken from it. But, of course, the pyramid not only inspired the Judeo-Christian prophets, but others as well. Rosicrucianus, Essens, Balzac, Nostradamus, who prophesied that by the 20th century parapsychology would be a science. Rama, I don't mean anything negative, but is there a way I can research the pyramids and find out about the ufonauts' part in building it? You'll just have to take my word for it, for now. Don't worry about it, your astral projection will provide you with more information. Does the Rodolfo Benavides book actually gives dates? Yes, and they've been pretty accurate so far. This book sounds like a real winner. Let me give you a few examples. These are almost direct quotes. It says that between 1962 and 1967 the economy of many nations will be shaky, several current soft-coins will stagger and gold will decline in value. Gene Dixon also said that, based on his interpretation of the symbols in the Great Pyramid, Rodolfo Benavides predicted in his book, which came out in 1960, that Christianity would be split in half, between the old and the young, that a pope would travel, trying to regain his lost priests, and that people would have a new music which would be sensual and primitive. He also saw that moral and spiritual values would be crumbling. He said beards would symbolize the rebellion of a whole generation and that women's hair growing on men's heads would indicate that the spirit of Sodom is back on earth. He talked about the black race consolidating its power, and that it would cause much bloodshed. War will expand to satisfy the egotistical and political ambitions of a few people. From 1967 through 1972, we'll see nothing but mass confusion in world affairs, several wars will be fought by the United States, and hate will grow against this country, there will be a fever to conquer the stars with man finally getting to the moon, and terrestrial space travel finding spacemen from other worlds. It's said that 1970 will be the year it's discovered that UFOs have been watching over your people, that these are invaders or space warriors. Later, it will be found that they're the servants of God, because they'll be speaking of peace, love and justice. Some extraterrestrials will step on the surface of the Earth. People will say they're green, then others will land and these will be said to be black in color. Then the black race will claim they're from the planet Neptune. By then, archaeology will have discovered that the ancient Mexi-Soft-Can Mayans and Peruvian Incas came to Earth from the planet Venus. You said all this was to have happened between 1967 and 1972. Why haven't we heard about these things if they have been accurate prophecies? Come on, look around you. Most of these things have happened already. I haven't finished with this period yet. You mean there's more? China will gain to reign over the globe, people will be looking for the third sex. Human psychology will be affected by the increasing impact of the sunspot activity. War, crime, violence, terrorism, will be crueler and bloodier. Religion won't have enough strength to guide humanity to love one another. Human life in laborious Tories will defy nature. People will forget God and spiritualism. There will be religious persecutions. It's already happening in Ireland. Finally, for this period, the pyramid says that cancer cannot be cured because it is a soul disease. And man will deny soul and spirit. This is all written in the Great Pyramid? Yes. Would I get this information here on Earth? Yes. It also says that from 1972 to 1977, the world is due for a catastrophic war, although it may be delayed. This war will have its climax around 1992, with 5 months being the worst. 5 months. Wait, I remember 5 months mentioned in the Bible. Here, Revelation 9-5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, when he stricketh a man. The pyramid also reads 5 months, huh? A nuclear war won't take more than that to wipe out the human race. The 666 number, as the one to identify the beast of destruction, was also taken from the pyramid. Toward the end of this period, people are going to live in constant fear of crime, war and violence. / For me, that's already a reality. I'm scared to walk in Central Park at night with all the muggers running loose. 11 And, by the way, in this book you'll find everything you would want to know about Wormwood, or Herco-Soft-Lipus. It also tells about the birth of a new moon, and about the Earth shifting its axis, which would give your planet eternal springtime, A mild, pleasant climate with soft-out marked changes. Ready for more? Shoot. It seems this planet faces great deluges. Every symbol in the Great Pyramid indicates water. After all, this is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. These floods will be caused by the polar ices melting and raising the sea level. Finally, between 1987 and September 17, 2001, the pyramid points to 5 years of collective madness and confusion. After that, life will slowly get back to normal with a new geography, a new topography, a new moon, new thoughts, and a new religion with a messiah who will be the same as the one who was before Christ. Of course, the new era will begin, but the Jewish race will no longer be on earth. You're free to choose whether to believe it or not. Errol, these are only intaken from the pyramid. But I'd like you to take a couple of minutes to analyze this. So far, the pyramid has been delivering significant dates accurately throughout the whole Adamic era. Do you think that at the end it's going to fail? I can't wait to get this book you're talking about. You can get it here in lima.middle.cani? I'll get one as soon as I get back then. You say this book gives these dates and that they were taken from every bend, corridor and angle in that pyramid. Ah, that's exactly what I've said. Middle. What is this about the Jews? Ah, the Jewish race is well recorded in the Great Pyramid soft-mid. When you read the book, you'll see in the dwings and plans of the whole system a block of red GNN.it that symbolizes the Jews. As you go along, you will see Team Eva present red granite block. You've also said the Jewish prophets took most of their information from the Great Pyramid to write the Bible. Yes. The pyramid and the Bible do not contend to each other. On the contrary, they are paralleled. Trademark only difference is chronology. The prophets don't gift you dates, the pyramid does. Give me a few examples. Read Daniel 12, 2 and 12. This prophecy of Daniel could very well be meant for these times. Remember that Israel is now a nation and the purification could be the sufferings that they underwent under Hitler's Germany, or maybe some more yet to come. Remember our conversation about the Antichrist? Ah! Another mass murder attempt. Now read Luke 21, 24 and 25. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. What could this mean in plain 20th century language, Chaco? Maybe Israel is going to be the fuse to ignite the dynamite stick. The heat is on all over Palestine. Maybe the Gentiles he referred to meant all the Goyim who are constantly fighting to get to Jerusalem, or the ones who had it. And if Jerusalem is now more in the hands of the Israelis, it symbolizes that the Gentile period already took place, which will leave you only the rest of the prophecies to the end of the 2000 years since Christ. Every time a millennium comes, people get uneasy because they think something extraordinary will happen. Soft-pen. That's happening now, but not in a collective way. The One-ish Talmud, for instance, talks about 2,000 years that are empty, and those are the ones of the Messiah. At the same time, Enoch's book speaks of 6 days, that must mean 6 millenniums, after which there will be a seventh. According to Haberman's work, Enoch came into the picture around the year 987 BC of the Hebrew chronol soft-ogi, 1,000 years later. Abraham appeared as the man of God for the Jewish race, and 1,000 years after that, King Solomon's temple was built. In the 4th millennium, Christ was born upon the earth. The Middle Ages marks the 5th millennium, in which human soft-it-die lived under the lowest concepts of culture and beliefs. Now that we're about to end the 6th millennium, we have only to wait to see what happens. Now Moses probably knew all these secrets. He was familiar with the interior of the Great Pyramid. He read and understood the texts, since he knew how to interpret the symbolism of the corridors and chambers. After all, isn't he the one who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible? That's right. You know, when I met you and you told me that we would be talking about the Great Pyramid, I never thought it would be like this. The chronology of the pyramid has approximately 6,600 terrestrial years recorded. Those labyrinths were subjected to chronological systems. Once again, these are scientific studies based on the chronological systems found there. I promise you, as soon as I get back to Lima, I'll get the Benavides book. I'll only be able to get it in Spanish, I guess. Does that matter? Not at all. Look, if it's in black and white and scientifically supported, as you say, I don't care if it's written in Tambuktuish. I'll find a way to get the meaning of it. That's the spirit. If I get to study these things as you've asked me, would I be able to understand what's written there? Yes. And there's no better way to tune into Christ's teachings, other than getting to know the mantra soft-sonally. And when you study these things, let your heart be the judge. I told you. He's the one who is linked to the stars and he's definitely coming back as promised to collect his people from the earth. Will I have to worship him and call him my Lord and Savior? Not necessarily. All you have to do to get the wisdom is cultivate your spirit. When you do that, you'll feel some changes taking place within your soul. Like what? You'll become more tolerant, you'll have the strength to overcome hard times. If you take the time to read and then write, the same divine force that Christ called his Father in heaven will come upon you, and you'll be given the wisdom to understand it. This divine spark, which is your gift of life, lives within you. Is that what's mean by the words, man is made in the image of God? Exactly. Now I have a personal message for you. Towards the end of 1975, or the first part of 1976, when the man you work for is assassinated, you're going to be so shattered you'll feel like saying to hell with every soft-thing. But I ask you to remember these moments, and in the name of Christ, go ahead, continue with your book. Even if you encounter many difficulties, a change will have taken place in you. By then, you'll have most of your information about Christ, and nobody will be able to tell you anything to make you feel that the gods are not with you. I'm getting the feeling that you really believe I'm going to love Jesus Christ. Why shouldn't you? You seem bright enough to understand humility. Getting to know Christ is only being able to practice his teachings in a humble way. That doesn't mean you have to give up the joy of being alive. It'll be even better, because you'll be happy and contented to have found out that Christ will give you the keys to eternal life. All that just by loving God and your fellow human beings? That's all you have to do. You're saying I can get to know Christ as a man. Let's say I get to know that he really existed, and that he performed miracles. What assurance will I get that he is the Son of God? Here's where your faith comes in. You'll have to believe in something which cannot be scientifically proven. I do now. I've learned to know my spirit as a third force. That alone led me to this eternal thought of creation, or the vibratory center of the universe. It's funny you mentioned Edgar Cayce earlier, because he speaks of the same kind of God, also as a force, but he calls it being part of a collective thought. Cayce seems to be speaking on behalf of that collective thought. Very good, Chaco. He's the one who is going to help you understand Christ as an Essene. In the mid-40s the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in some caves. They were filled with information about the Essenes. That famous Sermon on the Mount was inspired in the words of the Dead Sea Scrolls. How were they found? Do you know who the Bedouins are? Arabs, nomads, people without a land of their own. These people were merchants and smugglers that used to travel all over Palestine while it was in the hands of the British troops. They happened to camp about 14 miles from Jerusalem in some caves near the Dead Sea. That's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. They date back to about 150 years BC. This discovery is surely the link between the New and Old Testaments in the Bible. God as a third force, knowing the teachings of Moses and those of the Great Pyramid. Why were the Essenes so quiet and mysterious about their way of life? Because they didn't want to be bothered with a lot of explaining about their knowledge and spiritual level. Imagine talking to a stick to the law of Moses for I soft-C about the atom, protons, electrons, anions, anions soft-ites, and God as the vibratory center of the universe. You've heard of the Hermetic sects? Hermetic, meaning close to the public. Then why did Christ go to the crowds and tell them he was the Son of God, and perform miracles? What right did he have to disclose hermetic information? Because the kingdom of heaven isn't hermetic. When Jesus found out he was the one man who could fully understand the power and glory of God, the Christ consciousness, he chose to get to work by telling everyone that faith in God and love for one another are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Remember when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world," meaning not of this planet Earth. Of course, he was the prime example of loving everyone, the one man with the power to cast out demons. Now that you mention demons, we haven't talked about the devil yet. What do you mean by demons? Demons are the servants of Satan. If you want to talk about the devil, we might as well do it now. We've already established that the devil isn't a man with a tail and horns, just as the angels of God are humans like you and me. The same way with demons, they're humans, walking your streets everywhere. The devil, or evil forces, are also energy ananas and ananites that work according to physical laws and mutations. Witchcraft, voodoo, black magic, are all ways of channeling ananas and ananites as powers of the third force. These demons can also perform miracles. Remember that flick? The Exorcist? Yes, it was great. Why is the devil gaining so much popularity lately? I guess because people who are misguided, tired, and feeling abandoned by their churches, don't have enough strength to turn themselves onto the pleasures of eternal life. They seek other kinds of pleasures that give them immediate results, something that seems more meaningful to them. This is a royal chance for Satan, who is the master of deceit, to put his stamp on them. How does he operate? How is he going to be the world's master? This is the work of thousands of years. Satan knows and understands eternal life. He feeds from the uneven vibes generated by greed, thirst for power and money, and from the unscrupulousness in people who would do anything to be better off than others. They plan and scheme the next move to deceive or cut the throats of their fellow man for a fat bank account, furs, sex. They kill each other on the street. This soul condition is caused by the eternal thoughts of evil. It's a chemistry that moves in that frequency, constant fear, nervousness, paranoia, negativism. It has to be that way because we have to have the balance in the cosmos. Christ is the representation of the God of creation, and Satan is the representative of destruction, using the same MO always with the same plot. He attacks your weakest, most vulnerable spot. If you're greedy, and the thirst for wealth overpowers the forces of your scruples or spiritual feelings, then you are Satan's prey. The other day I remember thinking about big cities where there's crowding, crime, terrorism, violence, muggings, and death. That must be the work of Satan. Yes, but Satan not only has demons on the streets, they're also in business, politics, public offices, big international corporations, thrones, religious cults. Soft-ins. Sodom is present today in some of your bigger cities. People are seeking new ways to turn on. They have forgotten about God. Just as in the two doomed biblical cities, they got to the point of going against nature as far as sex is concerned. They were destroyed by fire. The Sodomite cities of your day will be destroyed by water, and Satan is going to be sent to prison for 1,000 years. Where does Satan come in when it comes to terrorist soft-ism, racial outbursts, bombings, hijacking of planes, things that are instigated by political motives? He's behind the world political scenes. That's what a lot of people say, but no one does anything to stop it. I don't think there's anything anyone can do. We are all free to choose our own destinies, which force we want to be a part of. In these matters there's no in-between. It's either or. This is precisely why Christ had to come to this planet. To show you with his exemplary life how to defeat the forces of evil. Come again? The sacrifice of Christ is the only way he had left to demonstrate by example that death is the entrance to eternal life. When you know and practice Christ's teachings, your forehead will be sealed in such a way that the dark forces can't get to you. On the contrary, you'll be able to perform exorcisms and demons will flee from you. That sounds far out. The concept is clear. We're dealing with two forces that we've seen as vibratory frequencies. You had to work a little to get to the point of being relaxed and calm enough to see your Anunnas and Anunnites. But thanks to the same knowledge that makes Christ the Son of God, you're now able to take your spirit out of your body. That's another thing I have to thank you for.